I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, though, let's talk about Monday Night Football. Guy joins us right now. This guy's really good, and you see him on TV up in Philly. A lot of Philly fans know him. It's Dave Zongaro. Joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Dave, I don't know what you guys are saying up in Philly. Here in Atlanta, we're all freaking out because Kirk Cousins looks like a cigar store Indian on Sunday.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that game. Not great. Certainly not what you want to see for the quarterback you just paid a lot of money to. I'm curious to see what it looked like on Monday night.
How has Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter developed since being drafted by Philly? We obviously don't watch week in and week out, but we know them from their time here in Georgia where they were the best at what they did.
Yeah, I mean, those two are maybe the biggest key on this defense this year. Fletcher Cox retires, who had been such a mainstay in Philly for so long that both of those younger players need to step up. And, you know, this is year three for Jordan Davis. It's really time for him to show what he's going to be in the NFL. With Jalen Carter, though, I think there's less worry about him just because he's so talented. Even in week one, you know, nothing jumps off of you at the box score. And then you go back and watch that game, and he's just so strong at the point of attack. He's able to affect each and every play, and he's getting doubled a ton right now, which you expect. I think that's the next level in his development, is learning how to sometimes beat those double teams that he's going to see quite a bit. But, yeah, both of those guys are super important. I think so far, honestly, Jordan Davis has probably been a little disappointing as a first-round pick. He hasn't shown the upside as a pass rusher, and he hasn't been an elite run defender. So his development is going to be really important for the season. And I think there's a little more worry about him than there is Jalen Carter, because you watch Jalen Carter on a week-to-week basis, and it's hard to not think he's going to be a really special player in this league.
We know that the Eagles have had struggles with the turnovers with Jalen Hurts. He threw a couple down in Sao Paulo, but we always were big fans of the guy. I know the turnover with the coaching. How's he getting along with the new OC? Are the turnovers going to go away?
Yeah, it's a good question. They went away all summer. He threw just one interception in the entirety of training camp, and you're thinking, okay, he understands this offense. He was in sync with Kellen Moore's system all summer, and then the first game of the season he has two really bad interceptions, just poor decisions, throws that he just can't make in this league and expect to be successful. So we'll see on that. I was very encouraged by what I saw all summer, just him protecting the football, but also not being extremely risk averse. You know, it wasn't like everything was a check down. He was just really functioning in that offense, and it looked smooth, and he looked in rhythm. So I think I kind of trust my eyes from all summer more than one game right now. But yeah, if this continues, it's going to be a problem, because he threw 15 interceptions last year, kind of out of character for him, and they can't be a good football team if that keeps happening. So it's on my radar, because the two interceptions he threw in week one kind of felt like the player he was in 2023, where a little bit of hero ball, like trying to make something happen, where in this offense, you don't need to do that. I mean, doesn't need to be the hero in this offense. It's a group that's really good at the skill positions and at the offensive line. So he just has to run the offense the way it's intended. And if he does that, I think he can be really good.
Saquon Barkley looked like he was back playing at Penn State last weekend. That was an impressive performance. But the Atlanta Falcons, especially with the addition of Matthew Judon, have a very stout defensive front. Do you think that's going to be the game plan again, is to use him heavily?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they didn't pay him $13 million a year to run the offense through other guys. It's going to kind of be a week-in, week-out thing, because they have so many talented players on offense, but he's going to be a featured part of their plan every single week. And based on what we saw in week one, it certainly makes a lot of sense. When they signed Saquon, not only did they see like a market inefficiency that they could exploit, they looked at him as like, hey, we can pay a third wide receiver this kind of money, or we can get a guy we think has the potential to be one of the best backs in the league. And that's the way they went. The thing that really impressed me most with him in week one was his ability to run after contact. It's something that you know, not to take anything away from Miles Sanders or DeAndre Swift, who have been pretty good the last couple of years in Philly, but they weren't able to do that consistently. So to see Saquon fight through contact, pick up those tough yards, kind of make something out of nothing in certain situations, that was really special. And since you mentioned Judon, I'm really curious to see how he fares against the Eagles in this game. He was still with the Patriots this summer at joint practices, and I thought he was really good in that one session. He kind of wreaked havoc a little bit on the Eagles' offensive line. So they've seen each other, which is a little unique, and I'm curious to see how that goes on Monday night.
Talking about the Eagles, man, with a guy who knows, Dave Zongaro with us from NBC Philly here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Everybody loves the Kelce brothers. Jason obviously is a character. Seemed like they couldn't get Jason out of like the facility. It's like, you have to go home now. You're retired. But how is Cam Jurgens filling in, and how's that line playing?
Yeah, Kelce's still...
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working out at the facility quite a bit. He has a little, he has a locker in the coach's locker room, so he's around often. But I think Cam Jurgens acquitted himself really well in the first game of the season. There were a few issues with snaps, but honestly, nothing I don't think to worry about too much there. They're going to figure that out. He was the guy they chose to be the heir apparent, Jason Kelce. Kelce helped scout him when Jurgens was coming out of Nebraska. So it was just a matter of when this was going to take place. And yeah, so far so good. He does like kind of remind you of Kelce a lot because he's an undersized center, has the ability to reach certain blocks that a lot of players in the league just really can't. But he's honestly stronger at the point of attack than Kelce was. The one thing he's lacking is experience. And that was, you know, Jason, after playing over a decade in the league, just all of his angles were perfect. He knew exactly how to gain the right leverage in every situation where, you know, Jurgens doesn't have that. He doesn't have that Rolodex, that memory bank to go back to. He's got to build that. But so far, so good. I was really impressed by him on Friday night.
The one weak spot for the Falcons on defense is that cornerback two position. We know Mike Hughes and Clark Phillips are guys that are going to be getting reps at that spot. How do you feel like the Eagles plan to potentially exploit that with the three guys you mentioned before in Smith, Dotson, and Brown?
Yeah, that's a problem for the Falcons, honestly. It's because even if you have Terrell on A.J. Brown, then that leaves Devontae Smith with an advantageous matchup. And they've actually been using Devontae a lot in the slot. It's kind of something Kellen Moore has done in his career a lot. You look back at those Cowboy teams with CeeDee Lamb last year, Keenan Allen, a bunch inside. And that seems to be Devontae Smith's role this year just because he's so good. His spatial awareness is really next level. He kind of has a good feel to play inside. So I think we're going to see him in there, you know, 50 to 60% of the snaps this year. So I think that's a clear cut advantage for the Eagles in this game. They're a tough offense to stop because they have these weapons on offense, but then their line is still really good. So it's just a dangerous combination for a quarterback to have the time and his receivers to be able to get it open as much as these guys do. It's, you know, and then you add Saquon to the mix and, yeah, it's going to keep defensive coordinators up a lot this year.
We talked about this with our buddy Hugh Douglas and a lot of folks who cover the Eagles. It just seemed like, man, why bring Sirianni back as he comes back as kind of a figurehead, you know, where you've kind of, and again, we already covered the end of last year, which was just so weird to watch from, because to be the number one seed in the NFC and to see it all fall apart. But what's the player's relationship? What's Jalen Hurts' relationship with him? These guys still respect Sirianni?
I think they do, and obviously there's been plenty of reporting about the relationship between Sirianni and Hurts being strained last year, and all that is perfectly true. But, you know, the Eagles kind of look at the head coaching position a little differently than some other teams. In Philly, it's not to say it's a secondary position, but they're kind of more geared toward the general manager and toward the players a little bit. Sirianni does have traits that they like. He has been able to build a culture. He does, he connects with his players. I want to play for him. And I know some of this stuff sounds hokey at times, but they like him in this sort of CEO role with two veteran coordinators manning the ship, where last year they didn't have the experience at the coordinator positions. They had a first-time OC and really basically a first-time DC, and that really showed up in the game. So they kind of solidify the coaching staff with Vic Fangio, who's been doing it for 3 decades, and Kellen Moore, who is still a young coach, relatively speaking, but has some experience. And Sirianni kind of likes it because it frees him up to handle more game management stuff. Even during the week, he's watched like all the 2 minute, 4 minute situations around the league, because that's really his biggest role now, is managing those situations in games. Right now, it seems to be working. We'll see like how this goes over the course of a season. I think in the back of my mind, certainly, and the Eagles aren't thinking this way, but if this works really well, then they're in a world of trouble, because Kellen Moore could get hired away and they got to start over again on offense. But if that happens, it means the season went well, so I guess they'd take it.
That's what we're kind of expecting Zach Robinson to do here right now, though, as we get back to talking behind enemy lines with the Eagles, just waiting to see if Cousins can get healthier, because, man, it's a scary proposition. It's nothing, Dave, like what we sold the audience from what we saw in preseason. if you tell your audience that, it's just we saw him with single set back, and we saw him doing play action, we saw him backpedaling, and none of that happened on Sunday. So we're very nervous.
Yeah, it was really strange, honestly, watching that game. I was obviously had the Sunday off because the Eagles played on Friday night, and that game was on TV here, and I'm watching it going, what in the world is all this pistol and shotgun? Like, yeah, it was really strange, and he was getting the ball out quick, but it seemed like the offensive line had some trouble too.
Yep, and yeah, it's all T.J. Watt was in the huddle too. All right, brother, have fun up there on Monday night, man. Obviously, I don't know how many Falcon fans are making the trip. I would advise against it, but enjoy the game.
All right, guys, take care. Thank you.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.